John, book of John in chapter number 3. I'm going to read probably the most familiar verse, probably, in Scripture. To a survey I read, it's not the most quoted verse yet. Used to be, but now the most quoted verse, just an interesting study, most quoted verse today, 2018, is "Judge not, lest you be judged," and unfortunately, it's all for the wrong reason. But John chapter number 3, and of course, we're going to read verse number 16 in just a moment. Want to encourage you to be here tonight. We have a guest speaker tonight, and he is going to preach on a Christian's perspective on Halloween. And I want you to be here. He's studied this in great detail. Normally, he preaches a three-day conference on it, and he's going to compact it into a Sunday night service, all right? So we want to be here. And again, I encourage you to be here because the information he has is something we need to know, all right? Don't just write it off. Say, oh, it's no big deal. You need to listen to the sermon, all right? And then you can make that decision. But I encourage you to be here tonight, 5:30, for that service. And as this man who grew up in Haiti and saw a lot of the pagan practices there, and it will open your eyes. So I encourage you to be here tonight for that. In John chapter number 3, it is a familiar passage of Scripture, but praise the Lord, it never gets old. Amen. John chapter number 3, if you're able to, let's stand as we read our Scriptures here this morning. Respect to the Word of God. We'll start reading here in verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to look at your word this morning. God, we'll see many scriptures, and I pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to the Spirit of God, that he would teach us, encourage us, convict us. And God, whatever we need from your word this morning, may we find it rich and sweet. In your name I pray, amen. Thank you, and please be seated. I want to preach a message this morning there. Of course, it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, we could preach on that sermon for the next 10 years, and it will never run dry. But I want to look at a little bit different aspect of it, and this, that Jesus Christ is the greatest expression of love that could ever be demonstrated. Jesus is love. Christ exhibits this love by loving. I know, you know, sit there and have to think with me a little bit this morning. But Jesus is the epitome of love. This world that we live in today doesn't understand love, unfortunately. I mean, the word love is thrown around and just used for anything and everything. And sadly, when it comes to this real love, a genuine love, people have no idea or they don't trust it. But Jesus is love. He is the epitome of all that love is. Look over in John chapter number 15. Again, we're going to use our Bible a lot, so just flip over with me real quick to these different verses. In John chapter number 15, look in verse number 9 with me in John chapter 15. This is Jesus speaking, and you'll see here what he says in John 15 and in verse number 9. It says this, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things, now I'm going to pause a second. That verse is not saying if you obey him, God will love you. You will enjoy the love of God as you obey him. There's not a chance that God was ever going to quit loving Jesus. You understand that? What is he saying in that verse is that we enjoy the love of God as we follow his way in his word. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Now I get a lot from these verses. I'm not going to preach on this text, but it's a sweet text. The fact that, what a wonderful thing to be able to look at you today and say that God, the Lord Jesus, loves me. The Lord Jesus loves you. Whenever I was born, my mom held me. Obviously, I don't remember this. I have a pretty good brain. I don't know what a mane is. That's a horse. But I have a pretty good brain. I have a good mane, too. But I don't remember what my mom told me when I was first held. But the very first word she told me was this. She said, "Travis, Jesus loves you." The kids sing the song, "Jesus loves me, this I know." And it's good to remind us as adults today that Jesus loves me. I'm not just talking about Travis Burke. Everyone in this auditorium can say that statement, "Jesus loves me." What a wonderful thing to be able to say that. In this passage, I see that as we obey him, we enjoy his love. As you follow the Lord, this is what the verses just said, as we obey the Lord and his commandments, you enjoy his love. I'll give you a simple illustration. I love my children. I love them. And as they obey, we can enjoy that love. But if they choose to disobey, it doesn't change the fact that I love them. But they're not going to enjoy me as much when they're not obeying. And a lot of Christians are living a life contrary to the Word of God, and then they kind of raise their fist and say, "I don't understand why God doesn't love me." He does. "Well, I don't feel like he loves me." Well, that's your choice. Because as we make these wrong decisions, we don't enjoy the love of God, nor do we understand his joy. As we obey, you enjoy the joy that the Lord wants us to have. You understand the joy that God wants you to have. And then the natural fruit of obeying God and enjoying his love and obeying God and understanding his joy is that you can't help this third thing will naturally come. You'll love each other. You will just love each other. You know, if you sit in church every week with your arms folded and say, "I can't stand these people. These people, they think there's something," right? Well, you need to go back because either, number one, you're not obeying God and enjoying his love. You're not obeying God and understanding his joy because you have no fruit of loving each other. And this is what these verses go hand in hand in hand and say. It isn't just in these verses. 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." He goes on to tell us that the greatest love ever shown was by laying down his life for his friends. Who are his friends? We just read it. "Ye are my friends." The Lord loved us and he gave himself for us. He wanted to show what a great friend he is. So how does Christ exhibit love? I mean, if you look at these verses now today, you know, you say, "All right, how can you say that he is love?" And I want to give you, it's a different type of sermon, but I think it's important that we stop and see these things. Go to John chapter number 14 and in verse number 31. Should be probably the same page. John 14 and in verse number 31 says, "But that the world may know," now look what Jesus said here, John 14, 31. "But that the world may know that I love the Father." And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Jesus, how does he exhibit love? Number one, he loves the Father. He loves the Father. How do we know this? Well, it's displayed by his obedience. Even back when the Lord came upon into this world, you know, as a young man, 12 years old, sitting there in the temple, he said, I must be about my Father's business. Some 20-some years later, he's in the garden. And he's in the garden praying, and he says, not my will, but thine. You understand this, and everybody catch this. You see the love that Christ has for the Father in his obedience. Now, it's a very simple thing. The Lord, you know, it's almost blasphemy to think this, that Jesus would disobey God. Because he would never do that. He would never disobey God. And how can we say that in confidence? Because he loves the Father. You know, I praise the Lord, you know, as my children. Now, you know, when they're super young and they're growing, all right, they are ornery, they're mean, all right? I've told you stories, they're thieves, they're liars, all right? Those are my children, all right? You've met their mother, all right? Just kidding, all right, just kidding. You know where that comes from, right? You know, they were evil. Because all of us are born that way. And I had to teach them to obey. My wife had to work with them in teaching them to obey. And when they're young, you have to discipline them. By the way, parents, if you don't discipline your children, you're disobeying God. I'm not going to give you some psychological thing. You're disobeying God. Which is a sin. But you discipline them when they're young. And as they get older, if you've disciplined them when they're young, and you're building this relationship with them, when they get older, they're obeying not because of the fear of the rod, but they're obeying because you've built a relationship with them. I mean, I don't have to, you know, my son, he's 19, but he still has to obey his dad. As long as he's living in my household, he has to obey his dad. And when I go up there, I know he's in college, but when I go to college, if I tell him to come here, he has to obey his dad. Someday he'll get married to be on his own, all right? I'll back off then. But he has to obey. He has to obey. But at the same time, I don't have to pull out some rod and say, all right, bend over, Alex, right? You know why he obeys? And he does obey. Now, he's not perfect, nor are you, nor am I, but he does obey his dad. Grace obeys her father. Hope obeys her father. And I'll tell you why they obey, because they know daddy loves them. I've given this illustration many times in church, right? There'll be one of the kids that comes in, and they may come, and you know, and I used to, when I worked with the junior church, and I was on the, you know, bus routes, and which, you know, I still am, I guess, but when I was in junior church and working with all the kids and doing all this, all right, you know, don't take this the wrong way, all right, there's no pride here whatsoever, but the kids loved me, all right, they did, all right, they loved me, you know, and I loved them, which is why they love me, all right, I loved them. We just had a great time together, you know, we had a huge old junior church. Still to this day, you know, those kids are all grown adults, you know, but still to this day, I can say, hey, will you do this for me? Absolutely, Brother Travis, right? I mean, we had this relationship. But I remember sometimes these kids, they'd ride, and, you know, there were some pretty squirrely kids that came in, you know, and they would come in. And I could, they, you know, I would be sitting up here and I'd see them. A lot of times they sit right over there where Brother Randy is, right? And they'd be sitting over there, especially the teens, you know, as they 12, 13, they start, they're still, because I was the youth pastor, and they were sitting there, and they started acting up, all right? And I could be sitting in the choir, and I'd make eye contact with them. I'd be like, and they'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, right? Okay, yeah. But the same kids could be sitting there, and maybe I don't see it. You know, and this, you know, man would come up who's never talked to them a day in their life. And when they are there, they complain that they're messing up the pews and they're messing up the, you know, hey, you guys sit up. Don't mess up these. I paid for these, right? And now they're acting up, and maybe I don't see him, and he comes up behind him and goes, you boys better sit up and quit acting up. And they look at him and say, whatever. They did. They did. What was the difference? A relationship. Relationship. So why are you saying all this? Jesus loved the Father. And it's exhibited in his complete obedience. A lot of Christians struggle with the love of God. It isn't because God doesn't love you. It isn't because God can't love you. He does love you. The problem is not God. It's our disobedience in our life that keeps us from enjoying the love of God. God loves every one of us. I taught a lesson on bus this morning. And, you know, it really, the kids, they seem to really get it. I mean, they were, you know, focused, which is difficult sometimes, right? But I pulled out a crisp $20 bill, man. At first, they thought I was giving it away. So I had their attention, right? I didn't. But, you know, I had it. I said, how much is this worth? $20. Right? Duh. And I asked them, what would you do with $20? And they all had an idea. I said, so what's it worth? $20. Then I folded it. So now what's it worth? $20. Then I crumbled it up, right? It's a little ball. So now what's it worth? $20. I opened it back up and I tore the corner off. They were like, I know, don't turn me into the feds, right? I know. But I tore the corner off and I said, now what's it worth? $20. I took a pen out and I wrote on it. I wrote my initials on it. I said, now what's it worth? They're like, $20. Then I reached in my wallet and pulled out another $20 bill. It was crisp and perfect. Look, I just printed, man. And I held up this one that was crumbled up, written on, corner tore off. I said, which one's more valuable? They said, they're both worth $20. It doesn't matter what home you come from, what your background is, or what your past may be, or how much you've been hurt, walked on, trampled on, in God's eyes, you're just as valuable as everybody else. You say, well, why am I not enjoying the love of God? Because you're not obeying. If you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, you're not going to understand the love of God until you fall on your face in repentance and faith towards Jesus Christ and say, yes, Lord, I believe. Then the love of God. Don't you remember when you first got saved? Oh, the love of God is amazing. Did you know after you get saved, you can wander away from the Lord and you forget just how much he loves you. But this obedience, this love is epitomized. He loved his Father, and you see it in his obedience to the Lord. You also see it, and it's displayed in him glorifying the Lord. Everything the Lord Jesus did was for the glory of the Father. I mean, I could give you so many scriptures for this. In John chapter number 17, look over there, just a few pages over. John 17 and verse number 1, it says this, these words spake Jesus, John 17, 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. You see the love that Jesus has for the Father, and that he always had no question, I want to obey. And number two, I just want to glorify the Father. We enjoy the love of God more and more when we follow the pattern of the Lord Jesus and just decide, all my life is just about glorifying God. Now look at me. You know what changes? Standards are not rules. They're an opportunity when your life is about glorifying God. not going to certain places and not saying certain things and not involving yourself in certain activities is not things that the church makes me do. It is a way of glorifying God. Whenever we have the attitude of my life is just about glorifying God, then my decisions are based upon that fact, and I want to do these things. No one forces me to do anything. I don't have to, but I want to, because I want to glorify God. That should be our attitude. It's displayed by the Lord's obedience and the Lord's desire to glorify, and displayed by his relationship. Oh, what a relationship the Lord Jesus has with the Father. You remember whenever Jesus was baptized, and God spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The relationship that the Lord Jesus enjoys with the Father, which was only interrupted one time, all of eternity, the relationship that Jesus has with his Father was interrupted one time when our sins were placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. At that point, a holy God who loved his Son had to turn his back on his own Son because he would not look upon the sin that he was bearing on our behalf. Jesus epitomizes love in that the way that he loves the Father. But Jesus epitomizes love in this way too, in the way that he loves the sinner. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, Romans 5 verse number 8, real quick, Romans 5, 8, I'll never get through all these points today, but we'll do as the Lord says. In Romans 5, 8, it says simply this. Romans 5, 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Aren't you thankful for the love that Jesus has for sinners? He came to this world for one reason, to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus shows this love for sinners by seeking them, but also, praise the Lord, by sacrificing for them. And I'm not pointing at those sinners. We all were sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all were in need of a Savior. If you're saved today, aren't you thankful for your salvation? If you're lost today, I want you to understand Jesus died for you. Jesus suffered for sinners. When he went to the cross, there was suffering. He was all God. But Philippians chapter 2 says, when he left heaven, he took upon him the form of a servant, us, mankind. He was fashioned in our likeness. Jesus became man. Which means when he was on the cross, he was God, but he felt the pain. Every time that whip went across his body, he felt that. When the men, those cruel men, took their fist and struck him in the face and hit him over the head with the reed, every time they spat on him and they pulled the hair out of his face, he felt that. When those nails went into his hands and his feet, he felt that. When the cross was placed up and literally the bones were pulled out of joint, he felt that. He suffered for one reason. At any moment, because he's God, he could have stopped it all. With just the thought, it would have been over. But he willingly suffered because the wages of sin is death. Jesus is perfect. So why did he suffer so? For all of us. He epitomizes love in a way that he loves the sinner, that he seeks them and he's willing to sacrifice for them and he's willing to suffer them. And praise the Lord, he is always willing to save them who will call upon the name of the Lord. Which, by the way, we ought to love the sinner in the same way. Now, I know we can't die for them, but we ought to be willing to do whatever it takes to reach them. Share the good news. In the way that he loves the sinner, in the way that he loves the Father, I think the Lord Jesus displays and epitomizes love in the way that he loves the believer. in Galatians, just a few more pages to the right, in Galatians chapter number 2. In Galatians 2 and in verse number 20. Galatians 2, verse number 20. I'm thankful to be able to say that He loves us. He loves us. Now, praise the Lord, He loves the sinner. But I also am thankful that I've been justified by His grace. I am now no longer under condemnation. I am God's child. Galatians 2 and verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. What's it say about the Son of God? Who loved me and gave Himself for me. Aren't you thankful that the Lord loves you today? How does He show this love to you and I today? Number one, by His presence. By His presence. What did He promise us about His presence? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know who you love and what you love? You spend a lot of time with. That's true, right? Y'all looking at me weird. That's absolutely true. I do not like liver whatsoever. Now my nephew Zachary, are you up there? He's in the sound room. You love liver, don't you? He's so weird. It's disgusting. He got it from his grandpa, all right? Yeah. But he likes liver. Oh. You'll never find me in a grocery store looking at liver. When it's on the menu, I turn the page. If it's being cooked, I walk out of the house. It's never cooked at our house, though, right? Liver's disgusting. I do not love liver. Now, if you want to put a ribeye, my nose will lead me to you. You say, hey, there's ribeyes at my house tonight. I'm there. I enjoy a good ribeye. The fact is this, what you love to be with. I love spending time with my wife. I love sitting down next to her and talking to her and fellowshipping with her. I love spending time with my children. I love spending time with my church. You know why God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Because He loves you. It's seen in His presence and it's seen in His power that Christ will work through you and me. What an unbelievable blessing that is. But He offers that to every one of us. And the fact that Christ is always there to plead on our behalf. Hebrews says that He ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. He loves the believer. He loves the obedient disciple. And in John chapter number 14, turn back there real quick. John chapter 14. I'll wrap this up. John chapter 14, verse number 21. John 14 and verse number 21. You will love to obey the Lord if you understand and enjoy the love that He has for you. In John 14 and verse 21, He that keepeth my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now the Lord, don't take it anything wrong way. The Lord loves the sinner. Amen. The Lord loves the believer. Amen. This verse does not say that He loves the obedient believer better. It doesn't say that. But it does say, look at it again, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. When we obey the Lord, we show a love for the Lord. And when we show that love for the Lord, we are enjoying the love even more that God has for us and the Lord Jesus has for us. Jude, the book of Jude, we don't have time to turn there, says keeping yourselves in the love of God. That phrase, a couple years ago when I read it, it just grabbed my attention. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. And you know, and my first thought was, well, He always loves us. That never changes. Amen. So what does that phrase mean? Keeping yourselves in the love of God. It is a daily reminder, God loves me, God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. And as you constantly are keeping yourselves in the love of God, you're constantly reminding yourself, God loves me. It would do everyone in this auditorium a great, great service today if you will take the time before you leave this place and say, Lord, thank you for loving me. And the more that you remind yourself how much God loves you, how much the Lord loves you, the more you can't help but love Him. And the more you love Him, the more you want to obey Him. Not because you're a servant, John 15. Not because you have to and God's going to zap you if you don't. But you want to. Because you love Him. I guess the point of the whole message today is this. God loves you. The Lord Jesus loves you. And a lot of Christians aren't enjoying the love of God because you're fighting against God. And when we argue with God and try to disobey God, we struggle with the love of God. But He loves us. I'll just give you these because we got to close. In Ephesians 5 and verse number 25, He loves the church. He loves the church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. He died for the church, He cleanses the church, and He's a spouse to the church. The Lord is longing for the day. He's longing for the day when, praise the Lord, we'll be together for all of eternity. He loves the church. Number six, the Lord epitomizes love in that He loves His enemies. He loves His enemies. When He was on the cross, after those people hit Him, smote Him, cursed Him, spat on Him, mocked Him, beat Him, put nails in His hands and feet, put a crown of thorns upon His head, did everything they could to embarrass and to hurt Him, what was His words? Father, forgive them. He loved His enemies. And I'll just give you this. He loves children. Remember in Mark chapter 10 when the disciples, people brought children to the Lord? The disciples were like, get him away, he's too busy for all this. Whoa. What did the Lord say? Suffer the children to come unto me. And He took each of them in His hands and He blessed them. Why did the Lord do that for children? Because He loves them. He cared for them because He knew the potential that every one of them had. The fact is this, that Jesus is the epitome of love. Because while we may have all come from a lot of different backgrounds in this auditorium and find ourselves in a lot of different situations, probably there are some here today that are lost, that don't know the Lord. Probably there are some here today that are wandered away from God. Probably there are some here today that are disobeying God. There are some here today that are obeying the Lord. Some here today maybe there's children or there are even enemies. But I don't care. He loves you. The fact is, it's hard for any of the rest of us to be able to say that. That we love all of those types of people. But Jesus does. And when you understand the love He has for you, you can't help. We love Him because He first loved us. When we understand the love that the Lord has for us, you want to love Him. And if you love Him, you want to obey Him. You want to obey Him because you want to glorify Him. You want to glorify Him because He loves you. When you keep yourselves in the love of God, you have the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, and the love for other people. Sometimes we get this attitude. I read to my Sunday school class this morning in Psalm. 77. The psalmist was depressed. The psalmist was discouraged. He was done with life. And here's the phrase, and boy, it just grabs you when you read it. He said, I thought of the Lord, and I was troubled. I thought of the Lord, and I was troubled. And that's a rough place to be. When we think of the Lord, you know what should be in our mind? Peace. The love. The joy. The satisfaction. The relationship. But when we allow our mind to get on all these other things and we're disobeying God and we pull away, you can find yourself in the same situation, being troubled at the thought of God. What a terrible place to be. I want you, as your pastor, to enjoy the love of God. There's a God in heaven that wants you to enjoy the love His Son has for you. So a simple question as we close. Do you enjoy the love of Christ? I hope you do. So I don't, preacher. I just don't quite get it. Then you need to stop and remind yourself just how much He loves you. Every day, I try to write down, and I can show it to you after church. I have it with me. It's in my office right now. Every day I write down the thing, one thing, one way that I see that God loves me. Every day. I can now show you, I've been doing this now for 4 years, 5 years. I'm like you. Every once in a while I get discouraged. The devil whispers in your ear, does God really care? Does God really care? Boy, it's nice to be able to pull out and just keep on looking a 4 years worth every day and say, you know what? Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. You need to remind yourself of the love of God. And every time I look and scroll through this list, wow, it just makes me want to love Him more.